It's Monday, March 30th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you had a great weekend. I sure did. Spent the weekend driving down the I-5 corridor to meet with members of two different Normal chapters, one in Eugene, Oregon, called Willamette Valley Normal, and one in Medford, Oregon, just 30 miles or so north of the California border, called Southern Oregon Normal. It's exciting to see all these chapters springing up all around the country, and I'm lucky enough to have two of them within driving distance to visit. Also, I'd like to set up a few more Normal chapters within the local area here in the Pacific Northwest, particularly Vancouver, Washington. So anybody in Washington State listening to this, or in Idaho for that matter, that I visit quite a bit, give me an email at chapters@normal.org, and we'll see what we can do to set you up a Normal chapter in your local area. Also, speaking of Normal events, we want to talk a little bit about the Aspen Legal Seminar coming up here in the first weekend of June. This is an amazing event sponsored by the Normal Legal Committee, and it's primarily for attorneys from Normal Legal Committee to get together and share information on the latest tips and techniques and laws regarding marijuana all across this country. But it's also open to the general public, and if you're a committed marijuana law reformer, this might be one of the most interesting seminars you can come to, because it really digs into the nuts and bolts of the law and exactly how we can change this adult marijuana prohibition. It's up at the Gantt Resort in Aspen, and we're proud to announce the Hunter S. Thompson Memorial $1,000 scholarship for an attorney who wishes to attend the seminar but is having trouble coming up with the funds. Get the information from our post at stash.normal.org. Look for the picture of Hunter S. Thompson and just read more about the conference and how to apply. I've also been going over a lot of the mainstream media stories concerning President Obama's dismissal of the marijuana legalization question at the town hall forum last week. In today's Pot and Politics segment for our interview, we'll be speaking in the first part of our two-part interview with Executive Director Alan St. Pierre in Washington, D.C., for Normal's official reaction to the president's latest statements. But I did find one columnist who wrote a question that I thought was quite interesting as he reviewed the reaction to the legalization question. This is Chris Weigant, writing on the Huffington Post. And he was saying that if he had one question to ask Obama in one of these town halls, it would be this: President Obama, since you have promised to start basing government policy on science and not on politics, will you push to allow all women over-the-counter access to Plan B as soon as possible? And seeing as how one-fourth of the states have made medical marijuana legal, how can you justify, on scientific grounds, the continued listing of marijuana as a Schedule I drug and not under Schedule II? Are you committed to bring your science-based philosophy into the realm of federal drug policy, or will you allow politics to dictate such decisions as in the recent past? And what I really like about this question is it forces President Obama to answer two questions that scientifically deserve the same answer. It forces him to deal with the very hot button and serious women's reproductive rights issue in the same breath as us silly marijuana questioners. So he wouldn't be able to laugh that one off quite as easily. Brilliant question, Chris. Thanks for bringing it up. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we're going to begin with our hemp headlines and some audio from CBS's Face the Nation, where once again, President Obama is talking about the issue of marijuana prohibition in this country, and you'll be surprised the metaphor he uses to describe the current efforts to help the Mexican government quell their drug-related violence. We'll also take a look at the efforts by Senator Jim Webb to reform prison sentencing in this country. As mentioned before, our Pot and Politics segment features Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, features music from Message Monday. And in our second interview segment, we'll be speaking with the Reverend Stephen B. Thompson, the executive director of Michigan Normal, as we look forward to this weekend's first big cultural traditional event in the cannabis culture. That's right, the Hash Bash in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which always takes place on the first Saturday of April. Big event out there in Ann Arbor. We'll talk to Stephen a little bit more about it. Spring has sprung, and you've only got 3 weeks to plan for your 420 event. Let me know what's happening by sending me a note at stash@normal.org, and we'll get your event on our Activist Agenda calendar. But now it's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Bob Schieffer on... No. President Obama, quote, Elliot Ness took on Al Capone back during Prohibition. Oftentimes, that causes even more violence. End quote. Bob Schieffer on CBS's Face the Nation was asking Barack Obama a series of questions on the escalation of the war in Afghanistan when the conversation turned to the war on our southern border.
Let me ask you about something closer to home, and that is Mexico. You talked about sending more aid to the Mexican government, but things down there are really serious, as you well know. It's my understanding that 90% of the guns that they're getting down in Mexico are coming from the United States. We don't seem to be doing a very good job of cutting off the gun flow. Do you need any kind of legislative help on that front? Have you, for example, thought about asking Congress to reinstate the ban on assault weapons?
Well, I think the main thing we need is better enforcement. And so this week we put forward a comprehensive initiative to assist those border regions that are being threatened by these drug cartels, to provide assistance to the Mexican government to make sure that on our side of the border, we've got more personnel, more surveillance equipment.
Well, why are we having so much trouble with that? I mean,
well, what's happened is that President Calderon, I think, has been very bold and rightly has decided that it's gotten carried away, that the drug cartels have too much power, are undermining and corrupting huge segments of Mexican society. And so he has taken them on in the same way that when Elliot Ness took on Al Capone back during Prohibition, oftentimes that causes even more violence, and we're seeing that flare up.
And what eventually happened? We found that all the Elliot Nesses in government could never stop Americans' desire to drink. We found that the battles between the untouchables and the bootleggers would just continue and escalate. We found that the best solution was to take the business of production and distribution of liquor from the violent criminals and give it to the law-abiding businessmen.
Do you think it's a threat to the United States security?
I don't think that it is what would be called an existential threat, but it is a serious threat to those border communities, and it's gotten out of hand. And so what we have to do is to recognize that, look, this is a two-way street.
Would you?
As Secretary Clinton indicated,
yes.
We've got to reduce demand for drugs.
And how do you propose to do that? You're arresting 872,721 Americans for marijuana. More people use marijuana, and there is more of it than before we ever started arresting people. Should we do more drug treatment? Well, you're already sentencing pot smokers to drug treatment, 37% of whom haven't even smoked pot in the 30 days prior to treatment. Some addiction, huh? With greater numbers of pot smokers in treatment than ever. Demand for marijuana is not something that needs to be eradicated. It needs to be recognized and accepted. It's not like alcohol, tobacco, cocaine, meth, or heroin, where users want to quit but cannot because of a serious physical craving, where increased funding and access to treatment will reduce demand because there is an unaddressed demand for treatment. The majority of people in treatment for marijuana are involuntary admissions from courts, not people who are desperate for marijuana treatment. By the government's own statistics, only 15% of the people in drug treatment for marijuana are people who have put themselves there voluntarily. Senator Clinton said our demand for drugs is insatiable. By definition, that is irreducible. Your choices are more arrests and tougher punishments, more mandated drug treatment, and or more interdiction. Oh, there is one thing you haven't tried, Mr. President, but I wouldn't want you to snicker at me. Virginia Senator Jim Webb definitely gets it. From Parade Magazine's article by Senator Webb, Why We Must Fix Our Prisons. With so many of our citizens in prison compared with the rest of the world, there are only two possibilities. Either we are home to the most evil people on earth, or we are doing something different and vastly counterproductive. Obviously, the answer is the latter. Drug offenders, most of them passive users or minor dealers, are swamping our prisons. According to data supplied to Congress's Joint Economic Committee, those imprisoned for drug offenses rose from 10% of the inmate population to approximately 33% between 1984 and 2002. Experts estimate that this increase accounts for about half of the dramatic escalation in the total number of imprisoned over that period. Yet, locking up more of these offenders has done nothing to break up the power of the multi-billion dollar illegal drug trade, nor has it brought about a reduction in the amounts of the more dangerous drugs, such as cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamines, that are reaching our citizens. Justice statistics also show that 47.5% of all the drug arrests in our country in 2007 were for marijuana offenses. Additionally, nearly 60% of the people in state prisons serving time for a drug offense had no history of violence or of any significant selling activity. Indeed, 4 out of 5 drug arrests were for possession of illegal substances, while only 1 out of 5 was for sales. 3/4 of the drug offenders in our state prisons were there for nonviolent or purely drug offenses. And although experts have found little statistical difference among racial groups regarding actual drug use, African Americans, who make up about 12% of the total U.S. population, accounted for 37% of those arrested on drug charges, 59% of those convicted, and 74% of all drug offenders sentenced to prison. I urge you to hit the link to check out the rest of this great article from the senator from Virginia. He most definitely gets it. Note that there are a few key items in this piece, namely, the distinction between hard drugs, cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamines, and soft drugs, marijuana, and that the enforcement of drug laws are racist in nature and implementation. If your state is acting on or considering prison and sentencing reform, please let Senator Webb's office know about it. You can get links to all of this information at the post at stash.normal.org. Normal's Weekly Legislative Roundup. More states are moving forward to reduce or eliminate criminal penalties for marijuana offenses, and this week has been especially busy. If you have not yet gotten active in your state, now is most definitely the time to start. Here's this week's summary of how you can get involved. Taxing and regulating marijuana. As we noted previously this week, a pair of bills, HB 2929 and SB 1801, seeking to tax and regulate the cannabis industry, have been introduced in the Massachusetts legislature. You can show your support for these measures by visiting cantaxreg.org. In California, this Tuesday's scheduled hearing before the Public Safety Committee on Assembly Bill 390, the Marijuana Control, Regulation, and Education Act, has been postponed. However, this is good news. Members of the Committee on Public Safety and Health were anticipated to vote on AB 390 immediately following next week's hearing. While it is impossible to know how the committee would have voted, all early indications were that several powerful members of the committee were expected to oppose the bill. We now have additional time to lobby the Public Safety Committee and the Assembly to support AB 390. Decriminalizing marijuana. Members of the Connecticut Joint Committee on Judiciary heard testimony this week from Normal and others in favor of Senate Bill 349, which seeks to reclassify the possession of minor amounts of marijuana from a misdemeanor to an infraction. This measure is backed by a solid majority of state voters, and you can urge the Judiciary Committee to support this effort. Members of the Rhode Island Senate Judiciary Committee also heard testimony in favor of a similar bill, Senate Bill 320. You can read about the hearing at normal.org. Finally, in Montana, members of the House Judiciary Committee deadlocked in a 9-9 vote this week on House Bill 541, which seeks to reclassify the possession of 30 grams or less of marijuana from a criminal misdemeanor to a civil infraction. Now, this action does not kill HB 541, as the committee can reconsider the issue if just one member is persuaded to change their vote. Help us do that. And in legalizing medical marijuana, arguably the biggest legislative news of the week, the members of the New Hampshire House of Representatives voted Wednesday 234-138 in favor of House Bill 648, which seeks to authorize the physician-supervised use of marijuana. The vote marked the first time that either chamber of the legislature had voted in favor of the medicinal use of cannabis. In other progress, legislative committees in Illinois and Minnesota also approved medical marijuana bills this week. Key hearings and committee votes are scheduled in the coming days in Montana and Alabama. And there's additional pending legislation in Colorado, Hawaii, Maine, Maryland, Missouri, New Jersey, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, and Washington. So please, to keep up on this and to make your voice heard, visit our Legislative Action Alerts page by going to stash.normal.org and clicking on the big map that says Activist Alerts.
Well, I smoke some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike, didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform, should have gone to the web and typed in Norm. Norm to the L.org, normal drop the A.org, baby.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the largest grassroots drug law reform organization in America. So every Monday we visit with the activists in drug law reform who are fighting for our freedom. Freedom, the freedom. I'm freedom to whatever I want. Get motivated to get it regulated. join us in some political activism today, you can start by visiting norml.org. One of the things I've said many times with regard to ending adult marijuana prohibition is that anytime we're talking about it, and by that I mean in the public sphere, anytime we're talking about it, we're winning. And this last week we had a most interesting clip from our president discussing the issue of the drug war in Mexico and whether or not the legalization of marijuana was some sort of plan we might use to deal with that or to fix our economy. And the reaction has brought a lot of reaction from those of us on the drug law reform side of things. So joining us to talk about it is the executive director of NORML, Alan St. Pierre, who's been very busy. And welcome back to the show, Alan.
Good day, Russ.
This Obama comment, let me play this again for the people who may not have heard it. This was on CNN as he was discussing questions that had been asked from an online town hall.
We took votes about which questions were going to be asked. And I think 3 million people voted, or 3.5 million people voted. I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience, but I don't want people to think that this was a fairly popular question. We want to make sure that it was answered. The answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So, all right.
So that, of course, is the famous reaction. And we just wanted to find out from the top what NORML's reaction is to President Obama's characterization of this issue.
Well, I'm pretty divided. Obviously, I'm insulted and angry that he would chuckle and employ the body language that he did. But, you know, I think 3 or 4 days earlier, he was on 60 Minutes and he chuckled, and there was question when he was being asked about bank loans and bailouts and the auto industry. And the next day, headliners were questioning whether or not that was appropriate for him to laugh. And he said, well, maybe it was gallows humor. And, you know, in some ways, I think when you're on live TV and you're trying to talk about what in your mind, his mind, very serious matters regarding the economy and taxation issues and health care, that the issues put before him, much to his chagrin, even though he invited them, had to do with legalizing marijuana. So I can appreciate the fact that it's not something that he probably wanted to have to answer in that live forum. But I do appreciate the fact that he did it. He didn't pretend that marijuana consumers didn't step up and argue for our case for reform and legalization. At the same time, boy, it's hard not to get a little piqued not recognizing the consequences and costs of arresting 872,000 people a year to incarcerate. We don't even know how many. 75, 85, 120 plus thousand Americans in jail on marijuana-only related charges, and all the attendant costs, whether it's trying to patrol the border, trying to interdict marijuana from the sky with a helicopter, running the drug dogs through the schools and along the highways. There are just so many serious, serious concerns around marijuana prohibition that for many of us, it's an anathema to chuckle about the concept of reforming the laws. But given the circumstance, I'm not willing to, as many people have, in what is by far the most trafficked and commented post on NORML's webpage to date. I think 700 comments have come in. And many people want to, you know, put Obama out to dry on this one. But I think overall we have to take a certain amount of political maturity on this and realize he's got bigger fish to fry. And hey, we're two for two. 3 months ago, Change.org wanted to hear, what are your biggest concerns? And what did the net tell him? Marijuana legalization. And he goes to the net and says, you know, what are the biggest economic concerns facing the country? Well, we came back and said, legalize marijuana. So we're two for two. Mr. President, How about 3 for 3?
A lot of the reaction, it seems, in the mainstream media has been that somehow Normal gamed the contest, that Normal invited all its supporters to go out there and push for these questions, which kind of shocked me because I figured, you know, that's what we do. But what do you have to say about that idea that somehow we had this overwhelming effect on gaming this question and answer series?
Truth be told, here's the chronology. I'll give it to you in like the Fox 24 show format, you know. 8 hours before the closing of the vote on Wednesday is the first time I found out that there was going to be a vote, that it was going to go online, that there was opportunities to put in questions that had to, in this case, do with marijuana legalization, that the next day the president was going to take the top 20 questions and go over them. So I asked Paul Armentano, Normal's deputy director and sort of chief blogger, to write up a quick blog. He did, and out it went. And because we get picked up by Google and we're fed out on a bunch of other servers, that it definitely caught on, but not to the degree possible to get the millions of votes. Normal is a very popular brand on the internet, but we don't have that kind of sway. So it does represent that this is truly, genuinely a grassroots effort and not something that can be distilled by one group. So we launched that around 3 o'clock on Wednesday. The voting closed, I think, around midnight Eastern time that night. The next morning I was told by the staff that we had gotten up to the top tier, and I realized by 11 o'clock, 2 hours before, or about an hour before Obama's meeting, that something extremely rare at Normal was going to happen. By 1 o'clock that day, the lines were going to completely light up with the major news media of the country based on one of two things happening. Either Obama was going to have to address the fact that this was a top-tier concerns of Americans expressed in this fair poll, or that he was not going to address it, and he would have majorly stiffed the grass nets out there and would have just absolutely set into rage individuals who had placed that as a top-tier concern and to not even get a mention. So about 38 minutes into his speech, if I'm not incorrect, he drops this particular notion that this was a very popular topic and something that he wasn't going to take up seriously. And just as I predicted, whether it was CNN or AP, NPR, the lines just lit right up with reporters, producers, and editors wanting to find out what is going on and, you know, what did Normal do. And I explained to them, and then I was some chagrined later in the day to see the White House and others pointing the finger specifically at Normal, saying that Normal had somehow unfairly ginned up this vote. And as you point out, well, that's exactly what a real grassroots organization does, is it mobilizes public opinion. And I sure wish we had as much membership as the NRA and the NOW group and NAACP or PETA, but we don't. And we don't because the government makes marijuana consumers paranoid to get involved with their own liberation. So the high irony of this, Russ, is that millions of Americans, by their own volition, went to go vote on this topic to make it a top-tier concern, and at the same time, we get zinged for having sway and influence after 40 years we still don't possess.
It's tough no matter how you slice it, and it brings up the consideration of why some of those other groups that you mentioned don't have that same sort of alleged power to drive their questions to the top. Why is it just Normal that has this power?
Well, and that's a good question, and I think that we can look to things, for example, like a metric, because, you know, that metrics don't lie, as they say in statistics. Well, Normal has a Facebook page now with its causes of almost 550,000 people. It's one of the largest causes on Facebook. It's almost a city status at this point. Well, that means Normal is at least, if not more, popular than groups like PETA or NOW or the NAACP or the NRA, and yet we still don't have the same political sway, and it's because people are not involved in their own liberation. They're not members of the local Normal chapters, and they're largely not members of the national organization. But when it comes to the net, there's no doubt that when given the opportunity, the citizens, the netizens, as I guess they're known, absolutely positively break in favor of marijuana law reform when given any opportunity to do so.
Be sure to download tomorrow's Daily Audio Stash, where we'll conclude our two-part interview with Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre. We get to discussing Senator Jim Webb of Virginia and his recent push for prison sentencing reforms and how that might be a backdoor way toward decriminalization of marijuana. And also a look at all of this recent talk about marijuana. Has it had an effect on Normal's donations and membership? Again, tomorrow, Alan St. Pierre on the Daily Audio Stash. Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Chesedek from Jamaica brings us Monday's Music with a Message with his song, Leave the Trees Alone, nominated in the 2007 Marijuana Music Awards. Chesedek is an herbalist, environmentalist, and Rastaman who blazes the chalice and defends freedom for cannabis. After three hit CDs, Chesedek is soon to release his fourth album, In This Time. Chesedek gets inspiration for his lyrics from Rastafari leaders and from freedom fighters around the world. His message is of love, justice, and equality for all life. Chesedek has performed at numerous festivals and events around the world, including Europe, the UK, the USA, the Caribbean, and many other countries, leading Chesedek to gain a huge international fan base. Visit myspace.com/Chesedek Music for more about this classic artist. That's Chezidek Music for more about Chesedek. And registered stashers, you can get yourself an MP3 download of this song. It's Chesedek with Leave the Trees Alone.
The herb is free. Babylon is not free. They just can't stand to see this little tree. Lord, can you see?
I'm a normal guy. I like the outdoors. I work a 9-to-5. And I use marijuana recreationally and responsibly in the privacy of my own home. Recently, I became one of the 20 million Americans who have been arrested for a marijuana-related offense. Now I face jail time and my future is in jeopardy. But couldn't police resources have been spent more wisely? After all, 90% of all marijuana-related arrests are for simple possession. Is this normal?
What makes Normal the most popular and effective marijuana reform organization in the world is the dedicated political activists at the grassroots level who make up our Normal chapters and college affiliates all across America and around the world. The people at these local Normal chapters are just like you, average cannabis consumers with an above-average desire to fight for truth, justice, and freedom. You can make a difference in your area by joining your local Normal chapter. If there isn't one nearby, get yourself and four friends to join National Normal, then send an email to chapters@normal.org and we'll get you started on forming your own Normal chapter. Then what? Well, listen in now to someone just like you who's already formed a Normal chapter in our continuing Monday segment,
Chapter of the Week. Political activists standing in the streets now. Political activists crying for justice.
Every Monday, we like to take a look around the country at the different chapters that are working at the grassroots level to help bring an end to adult marijuana prohibition. And this time, we go to the upper Midwest and take a look at the state of Michigan with the executive director of Michigan Normal, Reverend Stephen B. Thompson, who's joining us by telephone. And welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Russ.
So we were talking a little bit about your chapter. It actually has quite a long and distinguished history, owing back to one of the big names in the founding of marijuana law reform. Tell our listeners a little bit about the history of Michigan Normal.
Michigan Normal was started back in the 1970s, I believe the same year that Keith Straub founded Normal. The first executive director of Michigan Normal was none other than John Sinclair.
Mm-hmm.
Early years, 70s and 80s, Michigan Normal was successful in getting a 10-year law passed for protection for medical marijuana patients here in the state of Michigan. It was called Public Act 125, had a sunset clause. And over the years, Michigan Normal kind of fell into disarray. In 2000, it was basically my name only with the executive director, Attorney Greg Schmidt, who started the PRA campaign here in Michigan. We did it in 2000 and 2001, trying to get on the ballot with personal responsibility amendment, which would have completely decriminalized marijuana here in the state of Michigan. However, we were not able, we did it strictly on a volunteer basis, and we were not able to obtain the amount of signatures we needed, especially in 2001, because of not only the attack on our country and on 9/11, but that same weekend we lost two very dear friends, Tom Crossland and Raleigh Rome, who operated a alternative campground down in Vandalia, Michigan, called Rainbow Farm. And
oh, yeah.
They were killed on Memorial on that Memorial Day weekend, or I'm sorry, Labor Day weekend, by a police standoff.
Right. Remember that Rainbow Farm story. And then also for some of our younger listeners who may not know, John Sinclair is famous for the song John Lennon had written about him regarding his pot bust. It was called 10 for 2, where John Sinclair got 10 years for the possession of two joints and was, you know, quite a celebrity in during the 70s as far as this case went. Isn't that pretty much right?
That's correct. As a matter of fact, we are getting ready this coming weekend on the 4th of April to celebrate again his release with the Ann Arbor Hash Bash. Basically, this started back in the 1970s. I believe this is our 38th year. It started back in the 1970s after the big concert down there in Chrysler Arena that John Lennon and Yoko showed up at. And a few days after that, John Sinclair was released from prison by order of the governor of Michigan. And we started on April Fool's Day a thing called Marijuana Smoke-In at the Ann Arbor University of Michigan campgrounds there on the student diag. At that time, possession of a joint was only $5 fine. And we basically would gather every April Fool's Day to celebrate John's release. And over the years, that changed to the first Saturday of April every year and became known as the Hash Bash.
So we've got the Hash Bash coming up this weekend then?
That's correct. It's going to be a full schedule for us because we have our second, Michigan Normal has their second quarter meeting on Friday evening at the Best Western Executive Plaza in Ann Arbor at 7 p.m. And then, of course, the next day we will be at the Ann Arbor Hash Bash and have a booth on at the Monroe Street Fair.
All right. We'll get all those details up on our activist agenda calendar at stash.normal.org/agenda. So that if you want to attend the Ann Arbor Hash Bash or meet up with Michigan Normal at that Best Western, you can get all the information right at our blog, stash.normal.org. And tell us a little bit, you know, you're doing the Hash Bash here. What else does Michigan Normal do to reach out to Michiganders who are interested in ending adult marijuana prohibition?
Well, one of the greatest things that happened, obviously, we were the Michigan Normal was the organization. We were the foot soldiers for Michigan Coalition for Compassionate Care, which was MPP, Marijuana Policy Project, funded here in the state last 2 years and became effective law on November 4th. I'm sorry, it was voted on November 4th last year. I like to point out medical marijuana, one here in the state of Michigan, in all 83 counties of Michigan, we got 250,000 more votes than Barack Obama got for the presidency. This law became effective on December 4th, and on April 4th, ironically, the same day as Hash Bash, is the deadline for the state health department to start distributing the medical marijuana identification cards for the patients and caregivers. Obviously, that will start on Monday the 6th because they're not open on a Saturday.
So it's going to be quite a weekend between your meeting, the Hash Bash, and then the first identification cards going out on Monday.
That's correct. That's correct, Russ. And it did become effective law here in the state of Michigan on December 4th, but several Michigan Normal members from around the state helped to gather the signatures to put that initiative on the ballot. We also work around the state. I'd like to add that two of our Michigan Normal members went out, branched out, and we now have the Michigan Hemp Association here in Michigan, headed up by Everett Swift over in the Alpena area, Montmorency County area, who is dealing mainly with the industrial hemp issue and working on our legislators to allow our farmers to grow industrial hemp again. More importantly even than that is on November 5th, our former webmaster Greg Francisco founded, along with a couple other Michigan Normal members, the Michigan Medical Marijuana Association, and they are a network for the caregivers, the patients, and their doctors.
Wow, a lot of activity going up there in the state of Michigan, and I understand that Michigan Normal is not the only Normal affiliate in the state either.
That's correct. Some of our local chapters, I know Macomb County Normal, I believe Kalamazoo County Normal, and then my own county here, Benzie County Normal, I founded back in 2001 and became affiliated with Normal, so we have a few local chapters in the state that are affiliated with Normal. Most of them, we have a total of 22 chapters now in counties and colleges and throughout the state, and most of them are under direction their local chapters of Michigan Normal, the state chapter of Normal.
That's an excellent way to go about and spread the word, because I know a larger state, especially as we get out west, the larger states, it's hard to get everyone together in one central location for a meeting. So why not start a whole bunch of little sub chapters all around the state? I think it's a fabulous idea.
Well, and we were real happy because in these last 2 months, we have a gentleman who is, believe it or not, he's a former administrative of Marquette Prison up in the UP. And he has, his name is Jerry Glasscock, and he has founded, or he has started the Upper Peninsula Normal. So we now have a UP Normal up in the Upper Peninsula. We've got the whole state covered now.
That's great. A Normal for the Upers up there. Good
That's
to hear.
Great.
Now, for people that are listening out there, I know there's a lot of people, especially with these recent kind of flippant remarks by President Obama, who are suddenly motivated to do something. They think, all right, this is enough. We've really got to move forward on this marijuana legalization. And they might want to start a chapter of Normal, but they're kind of scared maybe, or they don't know exactly how hard it might be. So as someone who's started a couple of chapters here, tell folks what it's like, and do you find it easy or hard, or what do they have to look forward to?
Well, actually, it's very easy in the first place, and I've always encouraged. I'm 61 years old, Russ. I'm a minister. I'm a Christian, a born-again Christian, and I've also been a responsible adult cannabis consumer for 43 years of my life. And I encourage people from all walks of life. They need to come out of their closet. They need to stand up for this and quit acting like a criminal, quit acting like they're doing something wrong if they believe, in fact, that using cannabis is not wrong. And to start a chapter here in Michigan is really very easy. All we need is a contact. Our goal is to have a chapter in every county, all 83 counties, plus every college here in the state of Michigan. And to do that, if they don't want to become affiliated with the national organization, they can start a chapter in their county or college under the paperwork of Michigan Normal, and will be fully accredited as a nonprofit organization within their county. More importantly, I like to point out that Michigan Normal members are made up of folks from all walks of life, from your typical everyday middle-class worker right up to ministers, doctors. We have quite a few lawyers. And it's really important. What we have done as an organization is organized within our own little communities, from the local elections right on up to the state and federal elections, and getting friends to our cause into office.
Sounds really good. And if people out there listening want to get involved, what are the websites or phone numbers they need to know?
The website for Michigan Normal is www.mynormal, M-I-N-O-R-M-L .org. And they will be able to obtain all the information they need from our website. If they'd like to speak to me personally, they can reach me at 231-882-4496, or they can email me at simply director@mynormal.org.
Excellent information. Reverend Stephen Thompson is the Executive Director of Michigan Normal and with Benzie County Normal, and we thank you for joining us on The Stash today.
You're more than welcome, Russ, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with two cannabis quotes for the day, just because they're both short and I liked them. The first one comes from the French Enlightenment writer and philosopher who went by the pen name of Voltaire, who said, quote, "It is dangerous to be right in matters on which the established authorities are wrong," end quote. And something I consider to be a perfect rejoinder to that, the English philosopher Keith Richards, who once said, quote, "If you're going to kick authority in the teeth, you might as well use 2 feet," end quote. It's so hard knowing what we know, the growing truth about cannabis, and realizing that just our opinions can cause so much trouble in our lives with our family, our friends, and especially law enforcement. But don't be afraid to stand up and come out of the cannabis closet and let people know there's nothing wrong with the responsible adult use of cannabis. We just want the same rights beer drinkers get. Thanks for downloading the podcast, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.